Good early morning. Good morning, watching by Facebook and by internet, YouTube, whichever means that you watch us. You can't be here with us for various reasons. Thank you so much for coming out and worshiping today. Today we begin a whole new series through the book of Hebrews. Interesting. I love the book. It has so many great truths to tell us and to help us understand more about what God wants to do in our life. And the whole focus, really, of Hebrews is on Christ Jesus. Proving Christ is God in the flesh, the Messiah, and often using the Old Testament to do it with. It's beautiful, beautiful. Focusing. It seems like we have a hard time focusing sometimes today. Think about it. Probably every one of you here today, or just about all of you, have a cell phone with you. Hope you have it on silent. But this cell phone, we don't realize how much it's changed our life. Now, we know about the technology. But if you had to guess, how many times do you touch your cell phone a day? Some people would probably say, oh, probably 70, 80 times. Do you realize that the average American touches their phone 2,650 times a day? And if you are a frequent user of your cell phone, it's over 5,000. Matter of fact, it's 5,400 times a day. Do you know how many times, if you're an email person, you check your emails per hour? Most people would probably say, well, probably 2 or 3 times an hour. The average American checks their emails 20 times an hour. You know how much time? Probably more than so this past year. But the research I looked at, you know how much time you spend on social media a day? 142 minutes a day. Wow, over 2 hours. Just sitting there scrolling. You know how many text messages you send out per day? An average of 94. Multiply that over a year. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and find somebody up. There's news media going all the time, social media all the time. And we're being inundated by distractions. And we have a hard time pulling ourselves together and focusing. Nicholas Carr's book, The Shallows, said that our brains are being rewired. We're losing the ability to focus on the things that really are important. That we have this thing going on that we can't sit still. The things that really matter. We're just all about information, but never wisdom. So no wonder social media has played such a big part of our life and all these political debates and all of the campaigns and everything, because somebody can throw something out there to you and people will quickly believe it. No one thinks for themselves. No one focuses like we used to. For a little while, we need to focus on Christ to gain back where we've lost and to gain back more in our spiritual walk. As we study the book of Hebrews, it focuses on Christ, on Christ, on Christ. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, this is not the church for you. There'll be others. If you just want to know how to have a better life and have a happy life, go there. If you want to know about Jesus, you're in the right place. Have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1 through verse 4. Andrew Womack said it this way. He says, whatever we focus our attention on is what will dominate our thoughts. If our thoughts are dominated by the things of the world, then we're going to get worldly results in our life. We need to focus on God to get godly results. So often we need to just pause for a little while, unplug ourselves from life, so to speak, and just focus on God. Because He is the one that we're living our lives for. As we read the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 1 through verse 4 on this Sunday. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and to the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we look at Your word, God, we realize that we're so distracted. It's hard to even sit in church and focus for an hour in worship and on Your word. God, rewire our spiritual brains to just absorb so much of You. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Crowd out the world, cry it out. Crowd out all the things that just are beckoning and speaking to us for our attention, that we can learn more about You and how You want us to live our lives. In Christ's name, amen. So in the original language, these first four verses are actually one statement, one sentence. Just one long sentence about Jesus. We gain several wonderful insights to help us in focus upon Christ. And notice the very first word in this passage, in this whole book, is God. Doesn't begin with a mention of an author. Paul usually begins his letters with an address to who he's writing it to, but also about who it's coming from. Paul usually signs out on his letters. The book of Hebrews, we don't know who the author is. We don't know the person who penned it, but we know it's accurate and it's true. And they begin the very first word with God. With God. So the book begins with God, and there's no attempt to prove God's existence. So the writer assumes that the reader knows of God's sovereignty. They know God. So the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, to Christians and probably to Jewish Christians, here it is, God. Then I've got some things to say about Him. So the first thing that the writer speaks about in verse 1 and verse 2, that God has spoken to His people. That God has spoken to His people. That's not only in the Old Testament, not only in the New Testament, but even today, God speaks to us through His Word. Verse 1 and 2 says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, and in many portions, and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us and His Son. God has spoken to His people, listen, with direct speech, through angels, through signs, through miracles, through dreams, through prophets, even through a donkey. God will go to all sorts of lengths to speak His word to us. He will go through all sorts of lengths for us to get it, for us to understand. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 through 12 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me." Verse 12 says, "It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there is no strong God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am your God." Oh, isn't that beautiful? Then God is telling his people, listen, I am the only one. What I declare goes. So there's God, and he has spoken to his chosen people in a variety of ways. Think about it in the Old Testament, some of the ways that we know of that God spoke to his people. He spoke to Moses by a burning bush in Exodus 3. Over in 1 Kings 19, he spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. He spoke to Isaiah by a heavenly vision, Isaiah 6. He spoke to Hosea by his family crisis over in chapter 1 of Hosea. He spoke to Amos by a basket of fruit. God will go through great measures and has gone through great measures to speak to his people. The idea in verse 1 of Hebrews is that the prophets of God spoke to the fathers of the faith in various ways and in various means, using the properties of light. Think about this. In the Old Testament, the properties of light, as an illustration, we may say that God spoke in a spectrum in the Old Testament. And Jesus is a prism that collected all the bands of light and focused them into one pure being. So in the Old Testament, God spoke to many prophets, to the fathers of the faith. But in the New Testament, it's all Jesus. He is the culmination of everything God was trying to speak about in the Old Testament. Christ Jesus is the capstone of all God has been building up. God's Word is final and complete. Hebrews will reference the Old Testament many times. Kind of give us an understanding of this book as we walk through it. It's deeply rooted in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Hebrews has 29 quotations from the Old Testament and 53 allusions. There's no contrast in God's complete word, only continuity. What God said in the Old Testament, there's not a contrast of the God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. It's the same God. Jesus just fulfilled the word that he brought. That's why we must focus on Christ. Invest ourselves in God's word, because it's life to us. God's word is what ignites life. The Holy Spirit feeds our spirit and helps us to grow closer to Christ in his word. We have everything we need to know about God to live a life that is faithful and obedient to him. Think about it. On Super Bowl Sunday, there's always this friendly competition between businesses and their commercials. We like to watch. Some of them are funny. Some of them have all sorts of things. Some have the cute little dogs, and some have the different products that they're selling. Some have a message behind them. Do you know a company will spend $5 million for a 30-second ad to get your attention? $5 million just to have you talk about it the next morning. But none of those commercials leave you in awe. No, none of them do anything for you. They may stir little emotions when there's a cute little puppy or there's a cute baby. You say, "Oh man, that was so great." They spent $5 million to have you say, "Oh, that was great." Do you know what we could do with $5 million at First Baptist Church? We could pay this building off and have most of the next one all done. $5 million for 30 seconds. None of them would change your life. But you see, God's word would change your life for all eternity. If we just invest ourselves in God's word, He's speaking to us to know more about Jesus. God speaks, and it's in His word. So the second thing we see in this passage is, how has He spoken to us even today? Through Christ Jesus, His glorious Son. We just celebrated Christmas a couple of weeks ago. Or actually, a week ago, seems like it's several weeks ago. That we celebrate Jesus. God has spoken to us through Christ His Son. Verse 2 says, in these last days has spoken to us through His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. You know what, Christians, a lot of times in our own lives, we don't have a very high place for Christ. Sometimes we say that we're Christians, but our lives really don't reflect that Jesus is sovereign, that Jesus is creator of the universe, that Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, that we will die from this life and we will stand before Him. And either we are His friend, we are His child, or we are His enemy. Sometimes we don't have the concept of that because we've let the world distract us too much and we don't grow closer to Christ. Sometimes we just have information. But in these last days, verse 2 says, He's spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom all the world was made. Jesus is the complete fulfillment of the Old Testament. Verse 2 says, in these last days. What does that mean, in these last days? In the time before the first coming and second coming of Christ, we're living in the last days. We did a whole year study in the book of Revelation, and that was repeated over and over and over again. Jesus over in chapter 24 of Matthew says it again. In these last days, we are living in the last days. We are here. It's not something that's going to come in the future. We're here in the last days. It's the church age. In the last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. What has God said to you in His Word? What has God said to you? He's spoken to you. He's called you to salvation. He's changed your life. What has He said about Himself? God spoke to the fathers of faith in the Old Testament in various ways. Now in the last days, He has spoken to us in Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate reality. There is no one, no prophet, and no prophecies to be given. Jesus is the completion of all. The Scripture is inerrant. It's infallible. It's inspired Word of God. It contains everything that God wants us specifically to know until Jesus returns. There are no new prophecies. I cringe when I hear another believer says, oh, I want to go hear this prophet over here, and he's telling about this. Listen, there are no new prophecies. There are no prophets. God's word is the last prophecy. Whenever you hear somebody or this apostle or that prophet, run, because it's not true. This is God's word to us. He's spoken through Jesus Christ. It's recorded here for us. This is the great prophecy. Our scripture. God has spoken to us by His Son. Jesus has not only brought a message from the Father, He is the message from the Father. See, verse 2 and verse 3 says, Jesus, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, He also is a radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. Focusing on Jesus. When He made purification of sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. This one statement that begins, that covers these four verses of Hebrews, has so much. And it has seven descriptions about Jesus in there. If you don't get anything out of this first message, we need to get who Jesus is. We need to get these first few things that the book of Hebrews sets out, because it sets the tone for the rest of the book about Jesus. First description of Jesus, it says that He is the heir of all things. That Jesus is the heir of all things. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, heaven is not your home. And it never will be your home. Why? Because it's Jesus' heirship. And because we are in Christ, it becomes ours. See, Jesus will inherit everything. He is the firstborn of all creation. He will exercise dominion over all creation, both terrestrial, that meaning earthly, and celestial, meaning heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 tells us, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We can't miss that Jesus inherits everything. He inherits a new heaven, a new earth. And if we're not in Christ, then it's not ours. And we'll pay for our sins for all eternity in a place called hell. That Jesus is the heir of all things. Let that resonate in you, that Jesus is the one who all this goes to in His perfection. The second thing we see is that all things were made through Jesus. Wait a minute. So Jesus inherited all, but He also created it all. He created all things. The ancient Greek word translated worlds is aeon, from which we get our English word eons. It means that Jesus made more than just the material world. He also made the very ages. He made history. History itself is the creation of God, of the Son of God. Jesus created it all, and He will inherit everything and reign supreme over all things. Jesus created it all. Wait, Brother Kevin, that baffles me. I thought God created it all. Yeah. But His word says Jesus was the instrument of which He used to create it. Why? There you go, to the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Isn't it beautiful? Jesus created it all, and He is the inheritor. He is the heir of it all. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For by whom all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Jesus, this Jesus that we claim as our Savior, this Jesus sometimes that we don't focus on enough in our own life, this Jesus that we get distracted away from so many things that are calling our and begging our names and speaking to us from the world, this Jesus that say we lives in our heart is the creator of all. And He is the heir of all. Oh, can we just pull ourselves away from our phones for a while, our TVs for a while, pull ourselves away from the things that we enjoy doing in life and find our joy in Christ, who is all? Think about it. You were created to worship. I was created to worship. We will worship something or someone. You can't help it. I can't help it. We're going to worship someone or something. For many people, they worship food. Some people worship their job They worship their career. They worship education. Some people worship their spouse. Do you know how much pressure that is on a spouse? That all your affections, everything is on that person. We end up smothering them because we're worshiping them rather than Christ. You're geared to worship. You're going to worship someone or something. And God has designed us to actually worship Him. But if our focus is everywhere else, we find something else to lock on to the worship. Who or what are you worshiping today? Are you worshiping God? You see, God really does show a lot of grace to us by allowing us to worship Him. And that way our worship can be focused upon Him and in its rightness. And God pours out into us. But as long as we're worshiping something else, as long as we're chasing and pursuing desires of this world, we'll never know what it's like to truly worship God. Are you worshiping Christ? Is your focus on Christ Jesus? Or would you find yourself, if you have to just honestly do a life check on yourself, who or what am I worshiping? So, Brother Kevin, I'm sitting in church, I'm worshiping God. You'll be amazed at how many people sit in church and never have a relationship or a meeting time or a worship time with God. Just another face in the crowd. They're there for check it off on the list. But there's no worship in their heart for Almighty God. Oh, today. The third thing we see is that Jesus is a radiance of the glory of God. Jesus is the beam of God's glory. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus goes up to the mount. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. The three inner core disciples, those that he spent the most time with, those that he invested the most into, he takes them up because he wants them to get a glimpse of his glory, of who he really is. They're up there. And Jesus physically just kind of steps into the spiritual. And he allows Peter, James, and John to see it. And he's there holding a conversation with Moses and Elijah. They're in awe because the radiance of God shows now in Christ. They see him for who he really is. And they're so excited, they're beside themselves, but they're just as ignorant as we are. Because when Jesus steps right back with them and Moses and Elijah disappear, they want to build an altar, all three of them, rather than just Jesus. You see, the radiance of God shows in Christ. Oh, listen, when we worship Jesus, we're worshiping God in the flesh. The fourth thing we see here is Jesus is the exact imprint of God. Jesus acts like God. He is the exact impression or imprint of the Father. John 14, 9, Jesus said this. He says, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is saying, listen, if you have me, you have God. I am the fulfillment of everything that God has said in the Old Testament. I'm the fulfillment in the New Testament. That's me. I've said everything I need to say to you to draw you closer to me. John 8:19 says, where is your Father? They ask him. And Jesus says, you do not know me or my Father. Jesus answered, if you knew me, you would know my Father as well. Jesus is the exact imprint of God. as we study Hebrews, as you study God's Word, you have to truly believe and understand of who Jesus is. The whole Bible reflects Jesus. Every word from Genesis to Revelation is about God's love. It's about God's plan, His providence for all mankind, but it's to reveal Himself to us. The fifth thing we see is that Jesus upholds the universe by the word of His power. Jesus actively maintains and sustains the universe. Colossians 1:17 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, All authority has been given to me in heaven upon earth. That this world that we live in, this pandemic that we're experiencing, everything is still under God's power. Our losses, our gains. Whoever wins an election, whoever loses an election. All of it. Everything, God is still in control. Jesus still holds the stars, the earth, everything in balance by His word. Everything. He sustains it and maintains it just like He wants it to be. Even when things aren't going the way that we think they should go, even when evil seems to have an upper hand, even when people are cheating and lying and everything else, listen, God is still in control. God's ultimate plan, His providential plan, will come to pass. Everything. He holds everything up. This is the Jesus that we serve and we worship. He holds the very universe in His power. The sixth thing we see here is that Jesus Himself purged our sins. Man, this sentence has a lot, doesn't it? All these seven things about Jesus. He is the one that purged Himself for our sins. He went to Calvary's cross for you. This one who created the universe, who sustains the universe, came to live as a human being and died on a cross for your sins and mine. Oh, what a beautiful story. What a love story that is. That we, you and I, do not have to pay for our sins when we come to faith in Christ Jesus and repentance. That Jesus has already paid for the sins of all who will believe and trust Him and claim what He's done on the cross as our own. See, Jesus said in Romans 5:8, Paul tells us, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in this, is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. Jesus Himself, God in the flesh, went to a cross and purged us. In other words, cleansed us. Purified us, God's Word says in Hebrews chapter 1. Purified us from our sins. Have you been purified of your sins today? Do you know Jesus? And have you claimed His gift of salvation for yourself? See, you can know a lot of things about Jesus. The internet will teach you a lot of things. You can learn a lot of things about Jesus right here. Some of them won't be true. You can learn a lot of things about Jesus here. You can learn some knowledge about Jesus right here. You can gain this and gain that. But until you trust Him, until you make Him your Savior, you're lost. And many people have settled for knowing some things about Jesus and doing some religious routines, thinking that they're saved. And they have never, in repentance and humility of who they are as a sinner, see God and His great love and His Son who died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and claim Jesus for their own. Oh, today, have you claimed Jesus? Have you accepted His gift of salvation for your own? The seventh thing we see here is that Jesus is enthroned in glory and sits on the throne of God. So this Jesus, who's the radiance of God, who's the sustainer of everything, who purged you of your sins, is on the throne of God. The Bible says He is at the right hand of the Father. The right hand is a place of power. It's a play of words of saying that Jesus is in the place of power of the Father. That Jesus sits on the throne. The right hand of God is a place of authority and honor and power. Oh, today, this Jesus that we're studying, this Jesus that the world pulls us apart from, this Jesus that we're begged to focus upon, this Jesus that God has spoken to the Old Testament, through the Old Testament into the New, this Jesus that He gives to us, is Almighty God. And He's calling us by name to salvation, and that we live our lives for Him. Christian, let's see. Let's just be honest. It's so easy to get hooked up on this rather than this. It's so easy to flip through this for hours. And we won't flip through this for minutes. It's so easy to say, well, you know, there's so much in the world going on, and I know some things about Jesus. I love Jesus. But our life reflects this. Whatever we read, whatever we hear, this is absorbing us. This is where our focus is at, and it's distracted everywhere. And all God is wanting us to do is say, listen, I've sent you a message, and His name is Jesus. And everything you need to know about Him is right here. Will you this year, 2021, will you this year dedicate yourself to knowing Jesus? Knowing more about Him, digging into Him, understanding about Him. Because some of you, you've heard these seven things about Him. I lost you on number one. Why? Because you're distracted with something else. Your brain has been wired by society, by media texts, to think on all these other things. And we can't focus for a little while on something that really matters. Why are relationships blowing up? Why is the divorce rate among Christians at 51%? Why are there so many dysfunctional homes? Why? Because we can't focus on things that really matter. Like relationships and people. We've come to live in this technology world in a very unhealthy way, even in the church. Technology has some great things. Listen, we're benefiting. There are a lot of people who can't be in church today. They're benefiting by watching this. Yes, God's Word is recorded. You can have a Bible app. Do you know what I've learned over the years? That many people who have that Bible app out or the Facebook out and they're watching, they're also checking their emails. They're also sending text messages to one another in church. So distracted. So wired for shallowness. The shallows. That we can't focus on Christ. And learn about Him. That's just an honest answer. That we are easily distracted as believers. And we'll flip from here to there while God's Word is being preached. And we never absorb what God is saying. Oh, and sometimes we even put down the point of the sermon. And we're too worried about sending it out to somebody else that we miss it for ourselves. That we miss what God is really trying to say for us. The last thing, and I'm closing, is because of all these things, Jesus
according to verse 4, has so much better of a name than the angels. And we'll cover more of that next week. Jesus is exalted. He's all powerful. He's radiant. He's the heir of all things. He's God in the flesh. He's the chosen one of the Father. And yet He is near to us, calling us to come closer. Can we fix our eyes, fix our attention, fix our worship on Jesus rather than all the other things that call our name and beg for our attention? Can we just say, Lord, capture my attention, the focus. Capture my attention, my life, and my passion, and let it be on Jesus. Can we say that? Even this morning, this first Sunday of a new year, that will hold many challenges. We don't know what lies ahead. And we're so distracted by what the news media says and what social media says and what our neighbor says. And what we really need to do is just pull ourselves back together, unpack some things in our life here, because we know that God is still in control. But we need to focus on Him. We need to focus on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let the world be as the world, but let you be in tune with God. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank You that Your Word just speaks to us. Those first four verses, God, there's so much packed into there, it's hard to even get it all out. Just reminding us of who we serve and who we worship. God, I just pray that Your people will be honest with themselves. We spend so much more time doing other things, busying ourselves, so easily distracted. We don't like to think. We don't like to concentrate. We don't like to read. God, everything is just a brush, the scroll of a finger. God, our lives have become so shallow. Our thinking has become so shallow. And in doing so, our relationship with You has become so shallow. Our relationship with our spouse has become so shallow. Our relationship with our children. It's just become a finger stroke on the screen. Oh Lord, today, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, draw us back.